Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And welcome into Poke the Bear, episode 215, presented by Prize Picks. Use code CLNS to $100 back on your first deposit. Again, put 25 in, you get 25 from Prize Picks. 50, get 50 from Prize Picks. 100, get 100 from Prize Picks. So go use that promo code CLNS. Make games more fun. That's Connor Ryan. I'm Evan Marinofsky. Connor, what is up?
Evan, doing well. How you doing?
Doing great. Doing great. We're recording this on a Wednesday afternoon. It's between Florida and Tampa's game. Nothing we can do. Sorry. Just the way it is. But lots to talk about from that game on Tuesday night. That is, you know, it's funny. The season's winding down. Thank God. Want to get to the playoffs as soon as humanly possible. But that was as entertaining a regular season game as the Bruins have had in a while. I found myself... I'm always focused. I say actually focused. That's not what I meant. Yeah, I was actually watching this game. It's crazy. But I was sort of on the edge of my seat. I'm like, man, you know, they're coming to blows. It's getting heated. Matthew Tkachuk is hitting and falling at everything that moves. That was as good a regular season game as I've seen in a while.
Yeah, I feel like that's always the case when it's you're playing a team like the Panthers who are so physical, so engaged. Seems that they always ratchet up the intensity and give the Bruins credit. I mean, they're 3-0 against them this year. They've kind of, you know, been up to the task and met that challenge every time they played them. Even look at, they had a game, you know, they haven't played them in about 4 months now, but their last game down in Florida, Florida was super physical early on. The Bruins kind of met them at that, took the lead, and then really kind of snuffed out all their scoring chances in the third period. I think Florida only had two or three shots on goal. And then you look at this game, right? Like the first couple of minutes, you got the goal from Evan Rodriguez 27 seconds in. I think everyone collectively watching in the building, what have you, on social media was like, here we go again. Montgomery's outburst didn't work. The team, he's lost the team, all these doomsday scenarios. And, you know, slowly but surely they find their game. And I think is that as the minutes kind of went on there, the Bruins kind of met the Panthers to how they want to play their game. The Bruins were really physical, and we've seen them do that before, not just to Florida, but you look at like that last Maple Leafs game at the Garden where it felt like the Bruins were really physical, were knocking over any guy in a blue and white sweater in that game as well. It kind of goes back to what we've seen all year. The Bruins do at times tend to elevate their game and respond. And when you look at all that was, you know, building up towards this game, right? The Bruins lose back-to-back games, have a really crappy practice. Montgomery, not pleased. He's not one to usually kind of vent his frustrations or kind of put his team on blast in front of the media, does it. So you have all this stuff riding into that game where, again, where the end of March, it's still, you know, you're getting ready for the playoffs, but the stakes aren't as raised. But this felt like it was a critical juncture of the season going into this game. And the Bruins answered it with, you know, arguably maybe their best win of the year. It's just, again, doesn't mean it's going to translate to the playoffs, but for this team right now that just feels like it was rudderless just a couple of days ago, it feels like they finally have some traction again leading up into the playoffs.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if it was the best win of the season, and I think it's tough to tell because there are other regular season games throughout the year that have been good and strong and telling, but I think this time of year, after what happened the last two games, after that practice on Monday, Montgomery's comments, you're going into Florida's barn, that's weirdly become a hard place to play. Like, the seats are always open behind the benches at the start of every period. But it somehow looks like kind of a crazy atmosphere to play in, and the Panthers don't make it any easier. You go down there, you come back, you win 4-3. Your leaders lead the way in every possible way. You got Hampus Lindholm out there taking on Sam Bennett, trying his best in that fight. Gotta give him props. He dropped his gloves, punched him in the face. And Brad Marchand getting in a fight. And I think, at every point in the season, we question the big wins. Is this the best one of the season? I think when you get to this time of the year where the games mean more and you're trying to get used to playoff hockey, this probably is the best one of the season.
Yeah, I think so. When you look at, beyond looking at who you played, the history you now have with this team, the fact that I think they're viewed by quite a few people as maybe the team to beat in the East in terms of just how effective they are and how they play their brand of hockey, especially how well that kind of translates to the playoffs. You add in the drama, I guess, leading up to this game in terms of how they've been playing Montgomery's outburst. Yeah, it does feel like this was maybe their statement win of the year. But I think beyond that, the narratives maybe surrounding this team or surrounding this game in particular, just the way they played, right? This is a team that, again, wasn't pretty. They had, they had to claw back three separate times to get an equalizing goal. You've had the opening, goal from Rodriguez wasn't pretty. Carlo didn't look that great on that second goal. Bruins have an odd man rush. A shot from Verhaeghe was their third goal as well. Like, there's plenty you have to improve on. It wasn't, a masterclass. If it was like a 6-0 game where Swayman has 38 shutouts, but the Bruins have a 15-4 edge
and 38 shutouts.
You know what I mean? God damn it. This is like DeBrusk has to score 30 goals a game.
Yes. 30 goals a game. I think it was
the follow up to that. So the totally feasible Connor Ryan stat line. So 38 shutouts, anything less than that, not worth it for Jeremy Swayman.
Trade his ass. Goodbye.
But I think you look at the way the Bruins played that game, even with the obvious setbacks. And again, no one's going to play a perfect game, especially in the playoffs. No one's having a 38 shutout game, of course, like Jeremy Swayman. But for them to come back three times in that game and, meet the Panthers in terms of their physicality, you had guys that you don't view as being the guys that are going to throw their weight around, right? You had Pastrnak with that reverse hit on Matthew Tkachuk. You had Coyle, who didn't have the best game, but had 8 hits. The usual guys like McAvoy had 6 hits, 3 blocks. The fact that you're able to counter what the Panthers are at, where they are at their best. You had Brad Marchand was hitting everyone that moved in the sequence leading up to Pastrnak's goal. Mm-hmm. You had Zacha at the net front. Again, it wasn't like it was this great play, but what do you know? You put guys at the net front, you put guys in grade A ice, and good things tend to happen. So it's the way they won that game is, I think, how you have to win in the playoffs. It's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be things that maybe make the highlight reel. Zacha's goal, which maybe is their most important goal of the year, wasn't anything spectacular. It was a puck bouncing off his skate and past Bobrovsky. But you know what? If it leads to 2 points, you'll take it.
I think the big takeaway for me was you were able to play Florida's game. You were able to be really physical. You were able to, counter what they were doing, mix it up physically and, after whistles and scrums. And you didn't stray away from your own game. Again, as you mentioned, it wasn't perfect. There was, some of those things on those goals you allowed, there are things to clean up. They got a bit lucky. There was that Marchand rush on Frederick's goal that, who was it from the Panthers? I forget who it was, kind of slipped as Marchand went past him and probably would have, impeded Marchand with the puck, but it didn't, kept going. I was pleased with the Bruins' ability to stay true to their own game, but also counter what the Panthers were able to do. And they didn't have Pat Maroon out there. I saw Petrov tweet, Pat Maroon should be ashamed for letting this all happen right now. It's true. I mean, Pat Maroon should have done more last night. Let's just be real. But I think it's encouraging for the playoffs. Now, it's one game. You got to do this over potentially 7 games, which is a little bit different. But I think it proves that, Montgomery was saying, they're not ready for playoff hockey. Last night, Tuesday night was a playoff game, and they looked like a playoff team. I'm not saying that, they've changed my view on them. We talked about some Bruins beat on Monday or Tuesday of, what are the Bruins? What do we expect out of them? We'll get to that in a bit. I don't think it's changed. But it's okay. They have this in their repertoire. They can do this. I think that's probably the most encouraging thing to take from from Tuesday night.
Yeah. And I think also the one thing too, it's all about getting that consistency, right? Because you even look at last year in the playoffs against the Panthers. And I feel like, you know, here's the whole thing is, right, is history is written by the victors, right? So when you look at the Panthers outlasting the Bruins in seven games, like the overarching narrative is, I mean, one, the Panthers won, and then it's how they did it, right? And you have kind of the short summary of like the Bruins couldn't match their forecheck, couldn't match their physicality, self-inflicted issues, and then let them hang around till they lost in game seven. You look at like the Blues series, the Bruins lost that series. They couldn't get inside.
They did.
They couldn't, you know, beat Jordan Binnington. They couldn't, you know, solve that, you know, big-bodied physical defense that the St. Louis Blues had. But like, again, a seven-game series is all about momentum swings. There's games in that St. Louis series where the Bruins diced them up. They had the game in St. Louis. They had all the hype for that game. Bruins went 4-for-4 on the power play on four shots. They cooked them in that game. You look at like those first few games down in Florida where, again, that's a very physical, tough Florida team. And the Bruins match it. Friggin' Linus Ullmark was trying to fight Matthew Tkachuk. You had Charlie Coyle manhandling Sacha Barkov at the net front. Like, the Bruins can do this. Any team can do this. That's why it's so tough to chart out these teams in the playoffs, because any single night a team can, you know, play to their strengths. They can match another team's style of play and control kind of the narrative, right? It all depends on who writes the final script, you know, who ends up winning the series, and that's your definitive way of looking at it, right? Like the Bruins and like Capitals could go to a seven game series a couple years ago and they both kicked the crap out of each other. The Bruins win, it's like, oh, they finally solved the Capitals. They lose, it's like, this team can't fight into the ice. They can't match these physical teams. Like, it all just depends on who comes away and advances, because again, the Bruins played the Panthers well in some of those games, but it all comes down to consistency. It's the same thing with the team this year. Like, we've seen them play these games where we come out of it being like, play like that, you're going to be playing into late May, early June. And there's other times you're like, we're going to be talking about the off season in the first week of May. There's a lot that can go in between those two things. Right, Evan?
I agree. And I think that's the tough part is like, can you find that consistently? It doesn't have to be, if you go to seven games in a series, it's not going to be every night. You're going to, you know, in a seven game series, that's kind of the beauty of it. Not to say you can have an off night, but you can have an off night and not be booted. It's not like the NCAA tournaments. You know, there can be a bad game in there. The question is, can you rebound from it? And I think with the Bruins, I think it is encouraging. I don't think it's telling. I don't think it's, you know, 100% telling, but I think it is encouraging that they played like shit the past two games. And then that's our one swear of the episode to keep this PG-13.
Oh, you can say that as many times as you can for PG. You can't say the F word. You can't say.
Oh,
the F
that's
word.
What it is. Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I thought it was just a swear. But then they come out like they did on Tuesday night and it looks pretty good. I hope Bruins fans took some David Pastrnak stuff on Prize Picks. So here's a quick word from our friends over at Prize Picks.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is just heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. Want to play alongside some of Prize Picks' favorite players like Meek Mill and Sugar Sean O'Malley? You can now find community plays under the promos tab of the app to view entries from some of the biggest names in the Prize Picks community each week. Testing my skills on Prize Picks this season is the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with just a few taps. Prize Picks is really simple to play. I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and a huge selection of players and stat types are what makes Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. And with the Bruins season in full swing, there are plenty of ways to participate in Prize Picks. This week, I'm selecting David Pastrnak for more than 3 goals and Charlie McAvoy for more than 4 assists. So download the Prize Picks app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, use code CLNS for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Before we get into more Bruins stuff, you and I have to weigh in quickly on the Zach Hyman stuff from Andrew Berkshire. It's been lighting NHL Twitter on fire. And some of the funniest things I've like, just the discourse around it is incredible. I love the video. And then the next day on Wednesday, the 9-minute follow up, like, I'm like, I'm not watching all that, man. I ain't watching that shit. One serious thought, aside from making fun of it, is, you know, with my job at Ungen Hockey Journal, I see a lot of hockey development at the younger ages. And there's a lot of kids in there. I don't even know, it's not probably not a majority, but there's a good amount who come from wealthy families. Just the way it is. Doesn't make it right, doesn't make it wrong. It's just the way it is. And a lot of those kids won't go on to do very much. They won't go on to play in college. Maybe they go on to play in college. Seldom will they ever go near the NHL. So, you know, the whole idea that, oh, he's rich, you know, this and that. Yeah, that stuff's true, but he still scored 50 goals. Can we just, yeah, he just scored 50 goals. And to be like, oh, the media should be holding Zach Hyman accountable for this. Well, that wasn't up to Zach Hyman.
Right.
Like, I didn't understand that.
It just defies, you try to look at it from a critical lens. You try to break down what the argument was. And it's like, you look at just what the accomplishment is for Hyman. As you said, it wasn't. He's not the one dealing those hands, right, of being in that spot. And like, it's not like this dude had a friggin' Richie Rich like exoskeleton that taught him to fight into inside ice against fellow like 6'3" like NHL pro athletes. Like, it takes a certain special type of player, a very driven, determined player, to score 10 goals in an NHL season, regardless of, you know, your path to that. To that league. And this is talking about any sport, but like, just from within the lens of hockey, of to score 50 goals, you know, as a guy at the net front. I think I saw a chart that looked at like where all of his goals were, and I think it's like 39 or within like 10 feet of the goal line. Like, this is a guy that, you know, has accomplished quite a bit, you know, especially with Edmonton and the manner of doing that. It's not something that's just a byproduct of having a whole rink to yourself or something like that. If you're fighting inside ice against a lot of, you know, pro athlete, I almost said an F word, but I didn't want to put us on PG-13, but
please don't.
A bunch of big customers around the net front, that takes a certain skill, determination, grit. That's something that, you know, is taught through a player who that they themselves are determined to do so. So, did the extra skating sessions help him out? Yeah, of course. But like, to hit the level and the accomplishments of what Zach Hyman done, like, let's not take away from his own individual drive, accomplishments, and where he's at. 50 goals, 50 goals, regardless of the path you carved out to get there. I mean, it's just stupid. It's a waste. I feel like I wasted a good minute watching the gist of that video, and then another 10 minutes expelling more brain energy trying to find the logic behind it. And it's just like, what the hell? It's awful.
Well, also just reading the tweets, the responses to it.
There was some good tweets. There was some people were in their bag.
Yeah. Well, I was like, if Sam Reinhart scores tonight, I got a tweet, you know, is it because his parents were rich? I don't know what his parents did. I don't know what I saw somewhere that his dad might've been like a stockbroker or something. So I mean, again, Sam Reinhart, let's ask the question.
Got that exoskeleton robot suit, getting ready for knowing how to score these goals against
his dad. Dad buy him a rink.
Yeah.
Josh Stone scored 2 goals in his debut last night. I mean, should we be asking the question, you know, what did his dad do? You know, was his dad an NHL player, a little Coyotes legend? Is that what Shane Doan did? So
Hyman's got the big robot suit from Avatar, like those big humongous. That's how he learned to get, you know, to fight inside ice, get those rebounds. That's how he did it, of course, right? Not like he himself, you know, carved out a great path, went to the University of Michigan, was a guy that only, I think, had like one double-digit scoring it for his senior year, took off, fought for a role with the Maple Leafs, and then carved out a hell of a career so far with the Oilers. Like, no, it's just the money. You always got to follow the money, Evan. That's what real journalists do.
Yeah, that's what real hardcore, hard-hitting journalists do. Zach Hyman is just Bruce Wayne. That's, I think, really what it is.
I believe that, yeah. We finally uncovered the mystery.
Yes, he is Batman. Quick word from our friends over at Factor Meals. So, big development on Tuesday night against the Panthers. David Pastrnak, another 100-point season. We've talked a lot about Pastrnak throughout the year. on both podcasts. And I think it's fitting that, and I think it says a lot, and it's emblematic and it's symbolic and whatever word you want to use, that those 100 points, or what got him to 100 points, came in a big game against Florida, where he gets the goal. He also finds Zaka on the game tying goal. And just, you know, I mean, it's been another incredible season for him.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, first Bruin to have back-to-back 100-point season since Adam Oates back in 92 through 94. Pretty good company to be in.
I remember it well.
Yes, absolutely. No, not at all. I wasn't even around for the start of that. So, but no, I think...
Watched every one of those games, you know, gather around the radio and would listen.
Yes, exactly.
The old-timey beats of 1992.
1992, yes, of course. But I think when you look at... Again, we've talked about this before when we were mentioning his David Pastrnak's Hart Trophy, you know, validity this year. But that game is a perfect encapsulation, I think, of how much he's evolved as a player. Right? Like you've got the goal, which he's built a bit of a reputation for finding, you know, a way to score anywhere across the ice. But whether it's, you know, the reverse hit on Matthew Tkachuk, where you look at, again, I think people maybe view where David Pastrnak was his first couple years. I think he's still kind of that beanstalk guy that, you know, is viewed as a guy only known for his shot and what have you. Again, it's not to say that David Pastrnak's a Pat Maroon or a guy that's going to absolutely land welts on the forecheck or is going to win every puck battle, but he's still a guy that can win those board battles when needed, can answer when kind of the intensity ratchets up. He's out there on the ice for after Florida pulled their goalie, had a few plays where he disrupted passes, tried to get that empty net goal. Don't tell certain radio station about that, but again, like he was really engaged out there over that stretch, and again has the setup, puts the puck at the net to for Zaka, and that's something where, again, we've said that as much as teams have made a concerted effort to taking away David Pastrnak's shot, there's a lot of very gifted hockey players known for their goal scoring who what you see is what you get. Like they'll fight through, they'll still get their goals, but it's going to be that much tougher. It takes a very special player, a very gifted offensive player, to have teams game plan around you instead of just like keep on trying to fight through that, adjust on the fly, change your game, become more of a playmaker. And that's what he's done this year. It's really been a really impressive season. Even maybe it's not as flashy as the 60 goal year we had last year.
I mean, you even think about like a team like Florida is just so on him physically and everything. And he's still able to do that. And one of my AirPods went out. So I'm only hearing audio through one. And when you were talking, I can't do this. If only I had more money like Zach Hyman, I could, yeah, you know, I could have better sound quality in my ears.
You'd be like Beats by Dre.
Well, that's the thing. My parents would have built me a studio in this room.
Yes.
Or separate. But like the pass to Johnny Beecher over everybody. I mean, things like that. Just so crafty. And I'm excited to see what he's able to do in the playoffs this year, just given how he's evolved his game.
Noted for not being a good playoff player. I've heard that as well. The guy who's
almost a
point per game. He had that, game six before it became a defensive sieve for both teams in that game. Had that between the legs goal. Had the go-ahead goal in game seven. People forget about that, but I guess if you're not really paying attention to the game, you check whatever your producers send you. Makes it a little bit easier to craft whatever narrative you want, but
he doesn't have that. He's not the physical, you know, rough and tough kind of guy. So he must not be good in the playoffs. That's my favorite narrative. Is that Dave? I think it's 79 points in 77 games. I think he's over a point per game, in the playoffs. I love that narrative. It takes 2 seconds of googling something to debunk. I think it all started from that Blues series, right? Mm-hmm. I think that was how that started, and ever since he's been, you know, great in the playoffs. But
yes, the series where that whole line with two other, you know, potential Hall of Fame guys and Patrice Bergeron and Marchand also got their lunch money stolen by Ryan O'Reilly. So
this is true. I agree. Speaking of the playoffs, lastly, when you and I text before each show what the rundown is going to be,
how many F-bombs were allowed?
Yeah, today we weren't allotted many. I don't even think we were allotted any. But you said for the final one, I have no way to properly gauge this team. And to me, that sums this.
Dude, I can't hear anything. I cannot hear you.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yes.
Okay. It sounds okay. All right.
Yes. Well, yeah, you sound perfect. You at one point it just the audio went all away, but
that's great. Again. We're not going to make our producer edit that out. We're going to keep that in because it is a professional show. Yeah.
We're back.
But like, I think that's perfectly sums it up. There is no way to gauge this team. I don't think, you know, I have them out in the second round in the playoffs. I have them winning at least one round. But would it shock me if they went further? No. Would it shock me if they were out in the first round? No. Like, I think that's the weirdness of this team is that they're up and down. They're kind of all over the place. But then you see on a night like Tuesday against the Panthers where, like, the potential's there.
Yeah.
Like, that little glimmer of hope is real.
Yeah, it's, you know, they're not like last year's team where you viewed like how strong they were and you couldn't really conceivably map out a scenario where they lose a best of, you know, a potential 7-game series. This one, it's they're like most other teams that are in the Stanley Cup playoffs, right? Where there's nights where they look like they could go on a run. There's nights where you're like, how the hell did this team punch their ticket to the playoffs? And that's hockey. When you've got teams that can ramp up their intensity, that ride, you know, that their whole series, their whole season can ride on momentum swings of how good a goalie is or how hot a player can get in the offensive zone, what have you. It's so tough to gauge most teams when they get to the playoffs. You know, there's been how many times have we seen lower seeded teams go on a run, teams that lose 5 of 6 before the playoffs start, and then all of a sudden just ramp it up once the actual playoffs begin. It's just, you look at the way that this team is set up, you can map out a scenario where they're playing into the second or third round, or there's times where it depends on who they match up against. We could be finding out the Bruins play the Capitals and be like, all right, like the Bruins going up against a team with a minus 30 goal differential. And all of a sudden we record a podcast, the Bruins are down, you know, 2-1 with Game 4 in Washington. We're like, well, it doesn't look that good. And it's just the way it is, right? Like this team, they're a team that has so much that can go wrong, but also when they're playing at a high level, they look like a team that can absolutely go on a run. It's just there's no kind of way to definitively sum up how this team is, unless like they end this year with 7 straight wins or what have you, and they're beating down Tampa tonight, or they're, you know, beating down Carolina and their 2 matchups coming up. But even then, it's like, all right, whole thing changed when you get to the playoffs. When you get to the playoffs, it's about, you know, punching your ticket, getting in the field, getting in the bracket, and then seeing kind of just where the chips kind of fall from there.
That's all it is. That's what it comes down to. Connor, what can people look forward to from you at the Globe and Boston.com?
Yeah, where have you covered every step of the way this season, whether it's game recaps, features, columns, breakdowns, lineup analysis, all that stuff leading up to the playoffs and then through the playoffs for however long it goes. So you can find all my stuff over at Boston.com and the Globe. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can at ConnorRyan_93.
Go do all that. That's Connor Ryan. I'm Evan Marinofsky. We're presented by Prize Picks. You poke the bear listeners of a great rest of your week.